4 o'clock hour on this Hockman and Crowder special Friday. We'll start with the stock market report sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. Dow Jones finishes the week up 247 points today. S&P 500 up 30 points today. NASDAQ up 115 points today. Pretty decent week on Wall Street. I had texted you. I enjoyed speaking with Kate Flannery very much and really looking forward to Creed Bratton. I think out of the three office guests today, Solana, Creed's the biggest name, right? The most recognizable?
Yeah, probably. He probably is.
It's either Creed or Meredith, because they were both in every episode. You know, they may have missed an episode here and there, but they were both on it from the beginning till the end.
I think Meredith...
Or David Wallace really was on it from the beginning till the end.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't... You know, he's not like an OG cast member. I think Meredith has done more in terms of like podcasting and appearances and stuff after where Creed, he's gone into music and he had a music background before
Creed Bratton,
as well.
For people who don't know, he was in the Grassroots. I don't know if you know the Grassroots, but the Grassroots had huge hits in the 60s. And if you watch The Office, Creed, at the end, the finale, it comes out that he's kind of playing himself because he is Creed Bratton. And he was a musician. He was a rock star in the 60s with the Grassroots. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. He's going to join us this hour. I texted you a Darren Revelle tweet during the commercial break that Wimbledon, these are not like the good seats. These are get-in seats for Joker and Alcaraz, $10,000 Sunday.
Jeez.
For the worst seats. That's your get-in price. Darren Revelle says it will be the most expensive get-in finals tickets in the history of sports. Why is that?
Because it's the championships. It's Wimbledon.
No, I understand that, but the Wimbledon has a championship every year.
I think the sport has grown tremendously in popularity, and you have Novak Djokovic.
The matchup, right? Why is this matchup? It's obviously the matchup.
Novak Djokovic.
Every year.
Yeah, Novak Djokovic has the most Grand Slams ever. He is widely considered the best tennis player in the history of the sport, and he's still from that old era, the Rafa, Roger, Novak era, where it was three of the best to ever do it competing against each other. And he's kind of on the back end of his career. The fact that he's in this final right now, Hawk, is actually crazy. You know how much I hate Novak. But dude just had arthroscopic knee surgery that kept him out of the French Open final. Remember, he had to retire. I think it was in the quarterfinal. And or ahead of the quarterfinal. He had to retire. He had knee surgery, and a month later is playing in a slam final. And now Carlos Alcaraz, he's like the new wave of superstar. A lot of people expect him. What he's done, I think he's only 21 years old, already won slams. He's played in a ton of finals and slams as well. What he's done at such a young age, people are considering him to be the next GOAT, the next great tennis player to go after Rafa, Roger, and Novak's slam records. So this is kind of like the old wave versus the new wave. The best to ever do it against the guy who people think will be the best to ever do it, going head-to-head again in another slam final.
This is bigger than Bjorn Borg?
I think so, just a little bit, yeah. No disrespect to old Bjorn Borg, but I think Bjorn. But I think this is a little bit bigger than that. A little bigger than McEnroe at Wimbledon.
Jimmy Connors.
Pete Sampras. Yeah, just a little bit, Hawk. Just
really?
A little bit, yeah.
Elin Stassi. Roscoe Tanner. Yannick Noah. Joakim Noah's dad. You know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of finals, Hard Rock Stadium has tweeted out reminders for Sunday's Copa final. They say fans must have a game ticket to enter the Hard Rock Stadium campus. So if you think you're just going to show up and party in the parking lot, you will not be able to do so. You will not be allowed in unless you have a game ticket. It says there will be no watch parties outside the stadium or in the parking lot. You do have tickets. Parking gates will open at 4 p.m. You can get all the info at hardrockstadium.com. Solana's going to be hosting a watch party, though, if you don't have tickets. And if you don't have tickets, that would be understandable because these tickets are hell of an expensive ticket as well. Solana's going to be with the radio station at Mickey Burns in Hollywood Sunday. They're going to have live music, food trucks. I mean, this is going to be a party.
Bro, it's going to be
ice cold
insane.
Beer specials because everyone wants to be there. Not everyone's going to have tickets. So the party will be with Solana and QAM at Mickey Burns in Hollywood. If you stop by, you can register to win a pair of tickets for an Inter-Miami game and win a whole bunch of swag as well.
It's going to be fun, man. Last couple watch parties have been a lot of fun. This is a final. Colombia, Argentina, probably the two biggest fan bases for South American teams in Miami. I mean, it's going to be something, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it.
All right, let's get headlines because Creed Bratton is getting ready to join us. And I'm very excited to talk The Office with him.
They're driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. By the way, Carlos Alcaraz, 3-0, has never lost a slam final. This is Novak's 37th slam final appearance, which is just stupid. Like, it's just stupid. Guy's a bum. Let's go, Carlos. Let's go, Carlitos.
A little editorial there at the end.
That will be Sunday. You have the women's final as well. That's going to be tomorrow. Paolini from Italy will take on, I don't even know how to say her name, Krejcikova.
Sounds right.
Barbara Krejcikova from Czechia, which we now know.
Oh.
Is how to pronounce
it. Czechoslovakia.
It was Czech Republic. Now it's Czechia.
Well, it was Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, about 40 years ago.
Sure.
You got it, though. You got it. You have the Spain.
Then they split up, became the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And then, of course, Slovakia disbanded, fell into the ocean. Now you've got Czechia.
Not exactly. Somebody's in their car going, what the hell am I listening
just
to?
Just going crazy. Our friend Miami Barracuda has done a great Photoshop of the banner from the Heat practice that Ira had sent out, and he changed it to don't focus on the victory, focus on the tank.
People expect that, you think? You think people expect the Miami Heat to tank at some point in the Riley era? No, right?
No, not in the Riley. No, not, that was the, that's the,
caveat. Yeah.
Not in the Riley era.
Cause I know a lot of people are clamoring for a full rebuild, a tank, trade everybody but Bam Adebayo. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Not going to happen in the Riley era.
Maybe if there was a Wembanyama coming out, I mean, Cooper Flagg, it was cute and all. The kid's 17 years old. I'm assuming he's going to be one and done at Duke. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but he doesn't seem to me like a franchise changer. I don't know enough yet, but Wemby, he seems like a franchise changer.
Bro.
Although so did Zion Williams.
Hey, Pels might be good this year, man. You got DeJounte Murray.
Well, I've been saying that for 5 years.
Yeah. Maybe this is the year. He's a superstar. He's the MVP. If it is, it's going to make for great radio on this show, I can tell you that.
Somebody texts in, hopefully Hard Rock Stadium doesn't do that for the Taylor Swift concert in October. I promised my daughter we could sit in the parking lot during the concert. I don't know if they do that for concerts. I don't think so.
Probably not. But it could for Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I mean, that's like having a Copa Finals there. Yeah. It's like having the Olympics there.
It's fine. Just go camp out at Walmart. I'm sure you'll be able. Or Sonic. Right down the street.
You get some of those tots, little Taylor Swift live music.
Yeah.
Time of your life.
People do that, man. Have you seen those videos? They have people camped outside the stadiums thousands of people camped outside the stadiums with no tickets to get in.
Glimpse of her music.
Just to listen to it from outside. Just to listen to it. Thousands of Swifties outside.
I'd do that for The Office.
Jimmy, you'll be there?
No, I'll pass.
You a Swiftie?
No, I mean, she has great music, but not my taste.
You hate Travis Kelce?
That's exactly why.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, so you have the Copa America final Sunday, Argentina-Colombia, the semifinal tomorrow, Uruguay versus Canada. You have Wimbledon final women's tomorrow, Wimbledon final men's on Sunday, and you have the Euro final on Sunday as well. England, who wants to bring it home, it would be their first major tournament win since they won the World Cup in, I believe it was 1966, versus Spain. So it's a big day in sports on Sunday. The Marlins, they're in action tonight. They open up a three-game series versus the Cincinnati Reds, 7:10 p.m. tonight from Cincy. They're on the road, and then they'll be off for All-Star Week.
How are the Reds? They any good?
Jimmy, I have no idea. They're 45-49, fourth in the National League Central. 9 games back of the Brewers. In the mix.
All right.
In the mix.
Yeah, we'll call them in the mix. Marlins are 29 games back of the Phillies in the NL East.
What is that? If they're not in the mix, what are they? They're Dunzo.
They're Slovakia.
you see this Paul Pierce, Hawk? See what happened today with Paul Pierce?
I mean, this guy... I like that he leans into it. He leans into who he is. He's taking credit for LeBron James' ascension to the superstar who he is today. That's not a joke. He's taking credit for LeBron James' ascension to arguably, some would argue, the greatest basketball player of all time. I would say the second. But Paul Pierce is taking credit for it.
Yeah, he's on Undisputed today, talking with Skip Bayless, and he cites Game 6. First of all, he doesn't even know what year this was played. Conveniently forgot that in LeBron's first year, the Heat met the Celtics in the playoffs and beat those losers in 5. Let's not forget that. But in LeBron's second year in Miami, they had the Heat on the ropes. 2-2 series, Boston came to Miami, won Game 5. Had a chance to close them out, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6, at the TD Garden, and LeBron went in there and put on maybe his best performance of all time. 45 burger versus the Celtics, came back, they won Game 7, and his take was that that game, which he thought was LeBron's first season, doesn't he remember the timeline, this dummy, he thought, and he said that that game is what let LeBron get to that next level.
Right.
The best part.
It's a nice way to rewrite history of getting your ass kicked.
The best part, Hawk, is that Skip Bayless is like, and you covered LeBron during that game, right? He's like, well, I was a bit older at that point, so split time between me and Brandon Bass. Like, I don't think so, buddy. You covered him. He torched your ass.
And who's with him? Is it Keyshawn Johnson up on the?
Table
with them.
Yeah, I think
he's like waving him off. Like, can you shut up already? Imagine this FS1 replacing Shannon Sharp, letting him go. One of the best. He's one of those guys where you just want to watch him for whatever he has to say. Letting him go and replacing him with Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce. Man, I watched that today. I was hot. Because I'm telling you, man, like they're living, that Celtics team, Hawk, they're living off of that one title that they won in 2008, where they genuinely believe they're the greatest team to ever
You're
win a title.
That particular Celtics
that
team.
That particular
the Celtics,
Celtics
team.
Team
just won a championship.
They're doing
You're saying the
same
the Paul
thing.
Pierce team.
The Paul Pierce team. But like they really believe the greatest team.
And they're
team
not
ever
in that argument. They're not.
But he wants to be so bad. And Paul Pierce wants to be in the argument that Kobe and LeBron and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, like the guys who dominated eras. And he's just not. Like, he didn't do anything before Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen got there. But he wants to be so bad.
He was a very good basketball player, but he's not in those conversations. Sorry. He's remembered for one thing.
Pooping his pants.
Yep.
Let it go, Paul. Pooped your pants on the court. That's what we remember you by. And then getting laughed at by Jalen Rose and Michelle Beadle when you said you had a better career than Dwayne Wade. Too.
Yeah, that's a great clip as well.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Still a bit rainy, cloudy in South Florida. Seems like it's going to be that way for the rest of the day. That is your weather.
Very excited. Creed Bratton, who played Creed on The Office, is scheduled to join us next. He's 81 years old, you know.
He's up there. Dude's lived a good life,
maybe
though, right?
If he's signed in already, my Atlantic Men's Clinic. Yeah, I don't know if he's down here in South Florida, but guy's 81. But I'm very excited to talk to Creed. He is a great character from The Office.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You smell that? You feel it?
What's that?
Hialeah.
Hawk and Crowder.
A very special Hawkman and Crowder Show Friday. I've told you throughout the week that there's an Office reunion at the Miami Airport Convention Center tomorrow and Sunday, and there's going to be so many people there. One of the actors from my favorite show in television history, Creed Bratton, is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Creed Bratton played essentially a version of himself on The Office. For those who don't know, he was in The Grassroots back in the 60s, a musical act. And as the series went on, as The Office went on, you kind of started to get these clues that he was like, you know, Creed's with us. I'm talking like you're not here. I'm used to that, Hawk. You were playing a fictionalized version of yourself, but not super fictionalized, because at the end we kind of found out, if people didn't already know, that you were Creed Bratton from The Grassroots.
Yes, yes. And I'm still a musician, still recording. I've just released my, September 27th, my 10th album, solo album, if you can believe that, Dow Pop.
Yeah.
Did you get a copy of the?
I did. They sent us an advanced copy. It sounded great to me. I love the sound of it. It's called Tau Pop, as you just said. It's Creed Bratton. If you've never heard, I know there's younger listeners to the show who may not have ever heard a Grassroots song. If you've never heard The Grassroots, you can listen to it on iTunes. But Creed's got his new album coming out in September. And what did you love more? What do you love more, I guess I should ask? Is it performing music, or was it the years that you spent playing Creed Bratton on The Office?
Well, you know, back in the 60s, the groupies and the drugs and the free sex, that kind of weighs in one direction.
That's fair.
That's fair. But still, the money got better later on TV. So, I don't know, 6 1 half dozen another.
Right. They each have their pluses. They each have their minuses. Well, actually, it doesn't sound like there's any minuses. They each have their pluses.
They have their pluses. People ask me, when people meet me, though, Hawk, they're either disappointed or relieved, because I'm really not the guy I play on TV. I made him up. He's a fictitious character, obviously.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is there any part of you that's in Creed? Because here's what happens. Solana and I mean, I've seen every episode a billion times, and I get fooled still by TV. As much as I've watched and talked with actors, you know, throughout the years of doing radio, I still get fooled, where I start to believe that there's no way the person I'm watching isn't actually like that person.
Right.
Well, I get fooled in movies. So, And I mean, you, your brand of humor on that show, I mean, it was just, I mean, I think it's one of the best television characters of all time.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, thank you.
You never knew what you were getting from Creed Bratton. I mean, you never knew what was going to come out of your mouth. And so there was none of you in that?
Well, I'm sort of an enigma to myself, even. I speak of myself in the third person a lot. You know, I sometimes wake up and say, what would Creed do in this situation? And I'll just look it out. And I always go, that's my reference point. You know, as a human being, what would Creed do? And then I just react from there, basically. Yes.
And as far as your role, it was minimal, I think it's fair to say, in the sense that we didn't hear from you often, but I think that's what was so genius, because every time we did, it was almost always like in this random situation where you'd have like this one zinger that was always hilarious. Did you like that? Was that what you envisioned your
well,
role
it's
would
not,
be
it's,
from the beginning?
Salon, it's not a matter of what I envision. It's the big boys, you know, Greg Daniels, the comic genius who was our showrunner. I had lunch with him a few months ago, and he was discussing that same thing. People were lobbying for a while because my character argumentatively and great for me, he became more popular, and there was that cult, oh my God, the cult faction with people sometimes. I just got to go on a little tangent here. My lawyers called me about a couple of weeks ago. There was a group up in Scandinavia, a heavy metal group that was one of the Creed cult. And they're all around the world. And they have little altars with my face in there. And they play little, the Creed, my music and stuff like that. And he said, well, here's the problem. They're sacrificing small animals in your name. Now, I was flattered. I said, thank you so much. I said, but please, please don't do this. Anyway, getting back to that, it's been great. Great people said, well, maybe we should give Creed more because it's just what he does is so funny. And he kept thinking, no, less is more. And we both agree that I wouldn't be here talking with you if I'd done more, that I got tired of the character probably. But just that
but
little
every now
bit,
and then,
every now and then, it's just that little tidbit, that little pepper, the spice that the show needs. You know,
I quote it on this radio show all the time. Crowder has no idea what I'm talking about, but Solana does. I love when you're up at the easel and bow body and what's the B stand for? And Kevin
business.
Says business. Yeah, it's what it is. Your little turn as the office manager was pure brilliance.
I like it. Good, Kevin.
I like it. Yes, I love that. Do you have like something that people say to you when they see you at an airport? They see you at an airport. Do they just yell Creed, or do people yell I like it? Like, what's the thing?
Well, they run most of the time when they see me. You know, that's unfortunately, you know, especially the young children. You know, they their mothers go, oh, he's going to steal something from us. No, I'm not. I'm just a doctor. There's a litany, you know. It's almost like people would say, that's what she said. If there's a Tourette's, they don't know what to say to me. They go, oh, which one's Pam? Someone making soup, Bobati, later skater, cool beans. And they yak, 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 yak. And I'm going, and they go, remember when you threw the keys? I went, yes. Remember when the keys with nobody there? I remember that. Yeah. Remember when you said, did you get the cherry yet to Pam? Yes, I do remember that. Oh, that was, it's like Chris Farley with Paul McCartney. It's the same thing.
We had Paul McCartney. We had Andy Buckley on, and I said, I think I'm doing the Saturday Night Live skit here where I'm just being Chris Farley saying, do you remember? Do you remember? Because I love The Office so much that as you're talking, I want to say to you, do you remember when you were at the bar and we found out that you were doing the fake IDs when all the kids started walking in? Because I thought that was a brilliant scene as well. But that's all I want to do is say, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Like,
yeah. Solana, I think we've got him so he won't do that now, right?
I can't help it. The problem is I can't help it either because I want to talk about Northern Lights Cannabis Indica with you as well. Like, I'm guilty of it as well.
Yes. But you can understand my point of view too of going, yes. And by goodness gracious, I'm so appreciative of what's happened to me as an actor, because I'd been struggling for years and years since The Grassroots. I was in class right up to the day. Working in class, putting up scenes and memorizing scripts every week. So I tell people, young actors, I say, do not stop. If you get discouraged, you never know. You never know. I was in my 60s when this happened, you know. Luckily, I'm staying in good shape and stuff like that and work out. Things like that. So that's part of it. That was ready.
Ready
to go.
Is with us. I should reset and remind everybody The Office reunion is this weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, tomorrow and Sunday at the Miami Airport Convention Center. You can get tickets and info at officereunion.com. Rainn Wilson's going to be there. Angela Kinsey's going to be there.
She's a horrible person.
Leslie David Baker is going to be there. Stanley, Kate Flannery, Oscar Nunez, Melora Hardin, Tim Meadows. I mean, it really goes on and on and on. Are you in contact with many of the actors from The Office?
Oh, I see Angela all the time. Oscar and I go out about every 6 weeks and have sushi together. I see Rain a lot. I stay in contact with a great deal of them. You know, not everybody. But
this is a touchy subject. I have in my head the ranking of office managers, and just about everybody had a shot at some point at being a manager. But far and away, my least favorite was D'Angelo Vickers. And I will tell you, far and away, well, I shouldn't say far and away. My favorite, I guess everyone's favorite, is Michael Scott, obviously. But I loved Robert California. I when I tell you I love the Robert California season, when I was growing up in the 80s, James Spader was like the it dude. And I thought that character was brilliant. And certainly you're in the Mount Rushmore. Well,
What did you really feel about that, Hawk? Did you really like it?
I did love your run at it. I like Andy. But I really thought the D'Angelo Vickers episodes, I thought they were, they kill me. Will you comment?
I will comment about Spader, how intelligent the man is, because we'd be going to the set and we'd be talking about music. His son was learning how to play piano. We're talking about music theory and things like that. And he said, I got to get my lines. Hang on a second, Creed. I got to get my lines. He glanced out the script. He'd go, okay. I said, what are you doing? Now, seriously, he has a photographic memory. And he can glance down and he just sees it. He says, I look at the page and I take a picture. So later when he's on the set doing it in his mind, he sees it just like a photograph. And he's reading the lines on a photograph like that. And that's how he's always been able to do it.
It's unbelievable. It's amazing. I love everything.
By the way, I love the darkness there. You know, the stuff. Remember the scene where we were at his house in the pool, and I'm in a Speedo with a tiara with my guitar, and he drops trowel and jumps in the horrified look. I haven't seen all the episodes. I haven't seen all the episodes myself.
Really?
What? Well, I was shooting films and recording albums and touring. So, yeah, I'm sure on one of these days I'll sit down and get to it, you know.
So
I hear it's pretty good.
I've seen every episode a million times. The pool party is on my Mount Rushmore of episodes. The dinner party is on my Mount Rushmore of episodes.
I love Survivor Man, where he goes off in the wilderness and he cuts off his head coach and makes a hat. And he's talking, explaining it like it makes so much sense. You know,
it is so great. And Dwight's keeping watch over him during the whole round.
He's surviving just fine. Yes.
But you're telling me, so if you're flicking around and you come across The Office on Comedy Central, do you not stop?
Oh, no. That's easy then. Yeah, that's easy. If I'm there stuck.
And sometimes you'll see an episode that you haven't seen.
I do. That's good. It's great fun. And I'll go, oh, it was pretty funny there, you know?
That's wild to me.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yep. Well, it's one of those things as I'm sure if you talk to other people in The Office or any successful show, you can't predict lightning in a bottle. The synergy, that brilliant juxtaposition of writers, comedic timing with the actors, the crew, everyone's getting along, and it shifts and everyone's just doing their job. And they are doing their job, and you're in the heat of battle. And of course, on the set, we were always in character. We never knew when that camera was going to twirl around and get you, because they'll do something, and they're trained to just whirl, get you. So I can't be here like I am right now. If the camera comes on, I gotta be Creed. You know, I gotta do that broken tuning fork kind of the look that I had.
That is a great description of the look.
It's all he's celebrating, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, use that.
Creed, is it true? Because we're such big fans of the show, and there's so many podcasts surrounding the show. But Jenna Fischer and Angela who played Angela, but Angela Kinsey. They have that podcast, The Office Ladies Podcast. And you were a guest on that podcast as well.
Yes, I believe, yes, right? Yes.
But I remember listening to an episode where they actually mentioned season two, the Halloween episode. There was a point where you tried to get Devin fired, not one of the more popular.
Oh, I got him fired. I got him fired. So
right, you get him fired, right?
Yeah.
But yes. is it true? Because they said that they actually filmed an alternate ending where Devin got you fired for that, and you guys didn't know.
No, they would have. They would have if I hadn't knocked that thing out of the park. Yeah. Yeah. So
you put the kibosh on it.
That was, and I didn't know. I think that would have put a great deal of pressure on me as an actor to realize that my not only was my job, fictitious job, on the line, but my real job was on the line too. Because they were going to pick one or two, Devin or myself, because they couldn't have two. That's actually, we had room for one more. So, but I had prepared for so much. I literally, the week before, had the lines recorded on a tape recorder with a timer at 3 a.m. subliminally. It would go off under my pillow, this little speaker, and I'd hear the lines in my sleep. This is honest to God truth. The lines would go off in my sleep, and I'd wake up and say, boy, I really know these lines. I know these lines. And on the day, we're there, and they walk in like this and say, oh, Steve Creed. They have a 6.5 page. It took most of the day for us to go back and forth between Steve and I. It said, we made some changes. We made some changes to the script, and I immediately go, you know, it's sphincter pucker.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, but I had it so well, I just kind of reversed around, did picked in the new one, blocked them in, a la James Spader, and I was off to the races.
Did you know early on, even though it was so limited at the beginning, but then the Creed character grew, but did you know early on, this is one of the greatest series in television history? Or did you know early on, I love this, I want to do this for years? Or did it take a few seasons?
The latter. There's no way anyone will ever tell you, oh, we knew. I mean, I certainly did. None of us really could say, well, we know. Not especially at the first season, because we almost got canceled.
Yeah.
We didn't get picked up. They didn't say for sure till the second season. I knew I liked being around these people. The first ADs treated me like I was a regular. You know, when they, the first, I did some scenes and I started talking on Diversity Day, and they had to come and pay me on the side. So, well, we can't put your name up, but even though you're talking in this thing, she came up and said, now you and Phyllis, I want you to start talking like this. And Phyllis goes, oh, he's nice. I said, Phyllis, quiet. and then I was also the voice of the elevator, the guy who was trying to get this elevator ride in this cave. Remember to take the people on a vacation. Right. And I was the voice of the manager. That was his old friend. So, well, it's a coal mine. Michael, you know, it's a coal mine. Well, you know, what's that stuff? It's bat guano, Michael. You don't want to take the people down there. and I wasn't credited for that either, you know, but that's, that kind of stuff made them laugh. The timing that I had with Michael. So all those little things, I didn't push any of that stuff.
That stuff's organic, because it happens on the radio too. Like, and obviously they recognize that there's an organic relationship with the other characters and your character.
Yeah,
and that's how slowly, like, I guess if I said to you, if we had talked to you during season one or season two, and we said at some point Creed's going to be the branch manager, you'd have said you're out of your bleeping mind. Like, there's no chance.
Yeah. You're hawking up the wrong corner there, man.
Creed Bratton, again, the office reunion, it's an interactive office convention. It's at the Miami Airport Convention Center Saturday and Sunday. You can get tickets. You can get info at officereunion.com. There's going to be interactive games and activities, and there's cosplay. And I mean, you've done these before. Thousands and thousands of fans show up for this, right?
Well, they tell me I generally have my stand in. Could go to these. I heard they're fun. Yeah.
Do you like it though? Because you are the subject of adoring masses. Now you're a rock star. So now that I'm saying it out loud, like, that is the rock star life, where there's just adoring masses that scream at every word you say or move that you make. Very few actors, I would imagine, get what you'll get this weekend at the convention center.
No, it's a whole different thing. When we first went to Scranton and came into town. It was, we were like the Beatles. We were mobbed, literally. It was remarkable. And I had that course in my 20s with the Grassroots, because we had, you know, top 10 songs and gold records and stuff like that touring all over. We were four really good looking guys, and the music was popular. But that was the name, that was the brand, the Grassroots. This is a whole different thing that myself, you know, and albeit an older guy, still when I go on tour now, you know, there's the younger, the one generation has passed it on to the younger generation, and they picked up on the show. So it's insidious is what it is. You know, it's get a wild, life, people.
Well, if you're a Creed Bratton fan, he has his 10th studio album coming out end of September called Tau Pop. And what is it?
Tau Pop. Yeah. T-A-O-P-O-P. Tau Pop. And the single, if I may say, Hawk, they can go right now to any place, Spotify or Amazon or Apple Music, and play Corner of the Universe. Turn the Corner in the Universe. It's out there right now already, the single.
Yeah, I listened to it earlier today because they had sent me a link for it, and it's very good and it's very catchy.
Very catchy.
And so you love it.
I think the song is probably one of the popular things that I've done, and I say that because it's just kind of accessible right away. It's a good summer song too.
But how do you write music? Do you sit down in a room and you need to be alone, and to you?
No, it just comes to me. Yeah, I've been doing it for so long, and now out of every 20 songs that I get, I've written 50 or 60 songs that aren't so good. You have to understand that too. You know, you get some stuff, that's not so good. But once in a while they come on, then you keep that one, then you craft that one. And I'll sit down with people like on this album, Dylan O'Brien, Vance DeGeneres, Billy Harvey, and Jeff Perlman, I co-wrote with. And that's a whole different process where you sit down in a room and go back and forth over hours and then craft the song. And I like that. I found that I like that process also.
You said that you haven't seen every Office episode. What if you're flipping around on the radio and a Grassroots song comes on? You crank it up?
No. I recorded them, and you know, I just I just, it's like, that's another thing too. It's like, once I finish my own songs, I won't listen to them.
Really?
I've done them. I've recorded them. What's the point? I know everything. I know what's going to happen.
It's a good way to go through life.
I move on to the next stuff, you know. Yeah,
but that's kind of a liberating way to go through life. I don't think a lot of people go through life like that.
Doesn't mean that I don't want other people to listen to me, because I put a lot of love and sweat, you know, into those songs.
Do you give any credence to do you give any credence to critics? If somebody says, I imagine, just guessing, you'd be more sensitive about someone not liking your music than an episode of The Office.
I don't really pay much attention to any of that stuff. You know, I'm 81, and I just feel that I'm really, really lucky to get up and do what I do. So I'm ahead of the game. I won the lottery, baby. Kind of like that thing, you know? Yeah. Kind of. I have. So what cares what people think? You know, let them go out and get the hit records and get on the hit show, you know?
I mean, we won the lottery, Solana. We're sitting here, we're talking with Creed Bratton. We're shooting the bleep about The Office and the Grassroots and his new album. I mean, this is, I can't begin to tell you, you know, 20 years plus of doing radio, every now and then I have these pinch me moments where, you know, I'm talking to some athlete who I never imagined that I would be speaking with, or I'm at a function in Miami and there's an athlete who, and then obviously people from the zeitgeist of, you know, television and pop culture, where you get this moment, it's 10 or 15 minutes with you, but it is a pinch me moment for us, because honestly, you are a soundtrack of my life. Because I was telling Solana, like, honestly, I have The Office on in my house at all times, because Comedy Central has it on for about 6 hours a night, and I just keep it on in the house. It's comfort food for me. I love everything about it.
I got to tell you, there is one thing that has bothered me since the show has been, when we did the Emmys and Steve Carell didn't win the best comic, and there's other people that were against him. There was no comparison. You know, that's a travesty. And I'm just saying that publicly for everyone. The guy is a comedic genius. one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. You can ask anybody on the show. So that's still to that. That's kind of like a bone of contention. And I'm chewing it, boys. I'm gnawing on it now.
No, but you're so right, because even, you know, when the pandemic happened in 2020 and streaming services really exploded, The Office almost like was revitalized. You talk about the younger generation. And I almost felt like, because of how it was already extremely popular, but because of how it really kind of jumped back onto the scene, you guys should have all been nominated again. But like, and that could have been like the redemption for the Academy to do right by Steve Carell.
As NBC should have really paid me a lot more, because that COVID thing was my idea. You know, to get into the streaming thing. And so I said, hey, and I got a virus guy. I can get you a name of this virus guy. And it all worked out. And it worked out fine. It worked out.
Good move on your part. Creed Bratton. Again, The Office Convention. It is Saturday and Sunday at the Miami Airport Convention Center. Tickets and info at officereunion.com. You can download Creed Bratton's latest release. The album comes out September 27th, but the first single, Corner of the Universe, is available on just about every music streaming platform there is. And honestly,
in the universe,
Corner of the Universe, in the universe. We appreciate the time that you gave us. Real thrill for us. And I'll get you did a public commentary on Steve Carell. I'll give you one more chance to do a public commentary on D'Angelo Vickers. Can you at least say that you were a better office manager than D'Angelo Vickers?
I liked his pizza sauce.
What about the invisible juggling? That wasn't that creative, was it? Everybody raves about the invisible juggling. What was really going on there?
Genius.
Hawk, Solana, thank you so much for having me.
I can't get a public comment on it.
Having me. No, you're not going to throw your fellow people under the bus. You're not gonna
I do that all the time, which is why I'm still toiling away on AM radio after years trying to do better.
Yeah. But I had fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, we appreciate it. And anyone who's an Office fan, you should be at the Miami Airport Convention Center Saturday and Sunday, because it sounds like it is going to be.
If you're
going to
be there,
time.
Both of you, you know, my stand-in will give you a free autograph.
We'll let him know. We already know him.
Yeah, you already know me. His guy, his boss. Yes,
we appreciate it. Creed Bratton from The Office, and again, the album comes out September 27th. But go download the first single, "Corner of the Universe," right now wherever you get your music. Thank you, Creed.
Thank you, Hawk. Thank you, Solana.
Thank you.
And say hi to all those football guys out there for me, you know?
Okay. We will do so. I'll start with Crowder.
Be careful with the pigskins, guys.
We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder after this.